FSN Radio.
It's all about what's next.
Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You're listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's Carrie Lutz. The date is June 1st, 2015, and that means it's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review. Mickey, how are you?
I'm well, Carrie, and how are you?
I'm doing great. I can't believe that the summer's here and the end of the world hasn't come yet, but I've been waiting for so long, I figure eventually I'm bound to be right.
Yeah, well, one of our anarcho-capitalist friends is predicting the world financial world's going to come on to an end on September 13th. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, I've seen every date for the past 4 years since I really got into it. In fact, June 7th, Mickey, is my fourth anniversary since I created the Financial Survival Network, and I've been doing this pretty much full time. You know, I just take it all with a grain, but I'm sure there's some biblical references in there. And come on,
just, yeah,
you know, really forget about it. In the meantime, as long as I can get the next version of the iPhone, I figure the world hasn't come to an end yet. Judging from the latest major market summaries that you sent me, you know, it's pretty much, I think it was Eisenhower who said it and said it best. Things are more like they are today than they've ever been before. And pretty much that sums up last month's activity in the major markets, doesn't it?
Well, it does, Carrie. We once again hit all-time highs in the Dow, S&P 500, Russell 2000. Those highs continue to be set every month. NASDAQ pushed and closed above 5,000 for the first time since, the bubble in 2000, dot-com bubble. Closed the month above 2,000, I should say. Russell 2000 was up 2.2%. For some reason, the Toronto Stock Exchange Index was down almost 1.5%. Not really sure why that is. It's very much, I think 50% of the market caps are natural resources stocks. And, you know, most natural resources treaded water over the month. But be that as it may, it is what it is. Toronto Venture Exchange remains mostly moribund. There have been some increase in mergers and acquisition activity, but that has generally been in the small to medium parts of the space. We had a couple of gold companies merge, but nothing that's really shaken the market. But one thing we have noticed is the smart money is very aggressively starting to position itself in the sector right now, which means as contrarians as most smart money is, they're positioning for something they see coming in the future. How far out that is, who knows? And finally, in the markets, our emerging market index was a big loser over the month, down more than 4%. And I would attribute that solely to the Chinese cool down of their economy. Their PMI has been below 50 for the last 2 or 3 months, so that certainly affected it. And this all came about in the last half of the month.
Right. Yeah, well, the numbers coming out of there looked very discouraging. And, I mean, you can only spend so much money, and then you're going to have diminishing returns, or, as we economists like to say, diminishing marginal utility. And I think they're hitting it now. No politician ever likes to admit that that concept exists, but it seems obvious that that's exactly where we're at now.
Well, certainly 10% growth is not sustainable over the long run. And even 7% is kind of the number bandied around now. That's probably not sustainable. Economies just cannot continue to grow at those rates. So, you know, I don't view this as any great surprise. Chinese economy continues to grow, and I look at that as positive.
I think it's the Chinese economy is making the transition from a growth economy to a more mature economy, and you're not going to see those growth rates come out of it anytime again soon. In fact, the growth rates are going to continue to diminish because that's just the nature of the beast. I think it's what you saw in the United States at the end of the 1800s, the beginning of the 1900s. I think that's where they're at now. So expect more of the same, and that's just the way it works. So on to our money and what's happening there.
Well, the dollar has been very volatile but vacillating. So it's during the month, I think it went as low as 93 and as high as the mid-96 level. So it is volatile. We're seeing daily permutations in the value of the dollar index that are probably unprecedented, but it's basically retaining a lot of strength and really not going anywhere, if you will. Up 1.9% over the month. Concomitantly, no surprise here, euro was down 2%, closed the month at $1.10. 10-year treasuries were up 3.5%, but this rate is still ridiculously low, closed at 2.12%. I mean, who wants to buy a 10-year treasury bond right now? Certainly not the Fed with the end of quantitative easing. So, you know, those are essentially work out with even low inflation rates as a negative interest rate. So, you know, I'm not going out and buying any 10-year treasuries, and I'm sure you're not either. and then going on, we have the conundrum, which is Bitcoin. It's been flat for the last 6 weeks. It was closed the month at 233.40, down 1.3%. But it looks, if you look at a chart over the last couple of years since it a year and a half since it went exponential. You know, it looks to me like it may be establishing some sort of base here. It's basically flatlined for the last 6 weeks. So I think we'd like to watch that and see what happens.
Well, if you were in Greece right now, watching your economy basically implode, watching your country devolve from a sovereignty to a brand, effectively, Bitcoin might start looking pretty good to you, because you know that they're going to put limits on the amount of currency you can take out of the bank any day. And you would be hitting that send button, getting those blockchains, and opening up your wallets right and left if you could figure out how to do it. Now, the Greek, in terms of technology, the Greeks aren't always at the top of the wave, but you would be really giving it serious thought, I think. And
well, I think the new next big thing here is BitGold, and I don't know if you follow BitGold, but BitGold makes a lot more sense to me than Bitcoin does, because it's actually backed by gold. Now you are introducing third-party risk in your gold holdings, and which to me kind of negates the effectiveness of owning gold, but it can be, I think, has potential to become a medium of exchange at some point. So that was the big rage over the month, was big gold, and it actually went exponential over the month. But we can talk about that another day.
Yeah, we should talk about it. Our friend James Turk is the basically, they took gold money over, and he's out of retirement yet again. I guess he's never going to retire. So
doesn't surprise me, James, or any of us, really.
Well, retirement's a four-letter word to me.
Yeah, exactly.
And onto our metals, which surprisingly enough had an up month, although not by much.
Not by much. You know, the precious metal business has been pretty uninteresting for quite a while now. We've been hovering around this 1200 level. I'm looking at chart here. Since September of 2014, we're up and down, with 1 month exception in January when the Swiss decoupled from the franc from the euro that sent it above. But, you know, plus or minus 1200 silver, plus or minus $17 an ounce. You know, platinum continues to drop, whereas the other precious metals have not. This becomes a very strong buy signal for me. I was did an interview about a month ago and with one of our compatriots, Turd Ferguson, and one of his final questions was, and I think it's a standard question, which would your other own gold, if you had $1,200 today, what would you buy, an ounce of gold or a few ounces of silver? And I go, I'd buy platinum. And that's just for the arbitrage that I see coming with platinum. You know, the ratio is now way below one at 0.93. So that's a buy signal for platinum. Meanwhile, palladium was flat over the month. And copper hit 292 in mid-month, which was a five-month high, but it dropped in the last half of the month. And once again, that comes directly to the Chinese PMI.
Yeah, couldn't hold on to those gains back down to 273. Ratios and the gold to silver, you know, still over 70.
Yes, gold still remains strong with respect to silver. It still really hasn't stayed at my magic number of 75 long enough for me to exercise my idea that you buy silver at the expense of gold at some point. We already mentioned the platinum to gold ratio, and the platinum to palladium ratio is now down to 1.43, and that's a low since we've been tracking. Finally, we'll move on to energy. Oil kind of vacillated once again over the month in the high 50s to low 60s, so plus or minus 60 buck for WTI. Brent was actually down 2% over the month, closed at 65 bucks and change. This arbitrage that we see between Brent and WTI has closed a bit. That ratio is now 1.06, so we're seeing some rebalancing of those. And, the oil business is still on kind of shaky legs. We still have very high inventories, although they're going down, and we still have a glut of light crude in this country, and that I don't think is going to change until we get to a point we can export crude oil, and that's a political decision. Henry Hub was up 7 cents over the month, so it essentially gained back what it gave up in March, but at 264, that's not going to get anybody excited. 264 per million BTUs. We're coming, as you alluded to at the beginning of this interview, the summer, so we would expect inventories to decrease as people turn on their air conditionings, and plus such places as Florida, which I think is where you live now.
Correct. And Florida has become a state where nuclear and nat gas are the primary sources of electrical generation. And the fact is, I talked with David Gerwitz over at Charles Nenner and Company. They're predicting that nat gas is going to be strong for the next year. Whether they're right or not, hey, they're not right on every call, but they're generally pretty good on energy. So,
well, defined strong. I mean,
they say it's going up for the next year.
Yeah. Well, up. I'd hate to see it go much lower than it is right now at 264. You know, no one making any money at 264 gas. That's in the production or the drilling end of this business. Let's put this into context. It should go up. It certainly is. Yeah. Is oversold, in my opinion, now, especially with this movement to convert coal-fired power plants to nat gas. Now, I don't know if that gets us anywhere, since natural gas is methane, and methane is the ultimate greenhouse gas. But, to me, nuclear power is the future of baseload electricity for this foreseeable future of the world. And uranium actually lost 50 cents over the month. It's still hanging in at plus $35 on the spot price. This can be directly attributed this month to DOE sales of U.S. surplus U308. And then TEPCO came in toward the end of the month, and that's the Tokyo Electric and Power Company. And they actually sold some inventories to help with their balance sheet. At some point, Japanese reactors will restart, but it's going to be a very slow, painful process. There are three licensed to start right now with approval from the federal to the local level. We'll see if that comes about this year.
Yeah, that will be interesting to see. But uranium certainly doesn't look like it's going any lower and could very well bounce back. And yeah, these markets pretty lackluster for the past month overall.
Yeah, they really have been. And so, you know, volatility is what we're always looking for. We haven't really seen that. I would like to put in a little plug about uranium. There, despite this relatively low spot price, there's a buzz on the street about uranium companies right now. And in conjunction with that, we've organized a symposium in New York City on June the 23rd with Tom Dean of Murdoch Capital Partners. I will be the keynote speaker of that. It's called Uranium, the Once and Future Energy King. And we've got a cadre of five very good uranium companies, all the way from soon to be producers to grassroots explorers all over the world. And so if people are in the New York area, it's free all day symposium. I'd encourage them to check it out. The event is listed on my website.
All right. Excellent. And hey, as always, mercenarygeologist.com and your other sites, Mickey?
Mercenarygeologist.fm. We will post this interview into the rotation there 24/7. At Mercenary Geo's Twitter feed, now up to 42,000 followers.
Oh, no end in sight. And of course, you'll find us financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for the free newsletter, webinars galore coming up in the not too distant future. And hey, we'll look forward to talking to you again in a month, Mickey. Be well.
Appreciate it, Kerry. Take care.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.